all your photo, video, and voiceover needs, check out the fine folks at Blueberry Productions. They will take good care of you. If you don't believe me, you can see for yourself. Check out their work at blueberryproductions.tv, the Facebook page, Blueberry Productions, also a Vimeo page, a YouTube page, and it's Blueberry, BLUBERRY, prod on Twitter. Check them out today. Blueberry Productions, great people, great work, great service.
Hey there, your yard took a real beating this summer. Luckily, Scott's Turf Builder Winter Guard has your back. Just feed your grass with Scott's again this fall when the air is cool and the soil is warm. It's the perfect time to give your lawn a boost. If you do, Winter Guard will give your yard the nourishment it needs to help weak, thin grass recover and support root growth, giving you a greener, more resilient lawn both now and next spring. Guaranteed. Grab a bag of Scott's Turf Builder Winter Guard today. You'll be back to barbecuing in no time. This is a Scott's Yard.
Hey parents, we all try to be extra careful with our children in the car, but then we get an important call or text. Remember, our children are watching. Make every drive a good example. Be in the zone. Turn off your phone. Visit childrenshospital.vanderbilt.org/BITZ to learn more about our Teen Driver Safety Program. Brought to you by Monroe Carroll Jr. Children's Hospital at Vanderbilt, the Ford Motor Company Fund, and the Allstate Foundation.
Hello, my name is Travis Williams, President and CEO of Academics and Athletic Consulting, focusing on educating and empowering tomorrow's collegiate athletic leaders. My passion is for the education and genuine concern and care for today's student athlete. It's the centerpiece of my life's work. A college education, both in and out of the classroom, is a truly rewarding benefit. For more information on AAC, you can go to www.academicsandathleticsconsulting.com. Once again, www.academicsandathleticsconsulting.com. Or you can follow me on Facebook at Academics and Athletic Consulting, or Twitter at Coach TWill24, or Instagram Travis L. Williams 24. Or you can call me at 404-542-607. Once again, AAC is very proud to partner with J.R. McHenry of the Boss Man Radio Show, covering sports and entertainment across the country. Please tune in weekly for informative, entertaining, and expert analysis on today's sports and entertainment topics. Thank you.
Back here on the Boss Man Show, friend of the show joining me now, Deidre Taylor, Cal State Fullerton Titans out of the Big West Conference, only with us on the video stream. Coach, how are things out there with you guys in Cali, man?
So far, so good. You know, trying to do our part and to stay healthy and stay out of trouble for the most part. It's hot like it is everywhere in the country, but, you know, it's good to be alive and it's good to finally see our guys. We start school on the 24th and we are moving into the apartments today. So they'll do everything virtual, but they will move in. Some of them I saw last night, the parents and so on and so forth. So it's an unusual, but a usual time.
Most definitely. And, you know, I'll tell the story that on March 11th is my birthday when the NBA canceled the season. I was at the Hawks-Knicks game, and I got the text saying, season was suspended. And from my birthday on, the world has changed for the, like, worse, probably. You know, so how was it for you around my birthday, March 11th, with the team and trying to get the guys kind of corralled and this new non-normal going on? So how did you guys handle that in March and ongoing and make sure guys have good grades once for the semester there and go home safely?
It's been interesting. I think we were at a team dinner when the NBA decided to cancel the season. In fact, we were at a dinner, watching the game. They were warming up and everything, and they decided to cancel the season or not cancel the season, postpone it, and they were postponing that game. And so I kind of knew or expected that the tournaments would be canceled or postponed or canceled, really. So we went ahead and we went to the hotel. We were supposed to play the next morning at 12 o'clock. But about 9 o'clock, they started calling, our athletics director started calling, and the conference called, and I kind of knew that they were going to let things go. It's been very, very hard, not seeing each other from a social standpoint. But our team, like most teams, they responded. You know, they did everything online and they shut our school down. Our school is still shut down. But everything is virtual. Everything was virtual. So it was a bit of an adjustment, you know, constantly staying on top of them, constantly Zooming with them, which is what we're doing, which is the new norm. But constantly communicating with them over some type of platform other than seeing them daily. And that was probably the hardest part for me, just not being able to touch them, not being able to see them, not being able to physically put my hands on them in a good way. That was different. But like I said, most teams, they responded the right way. They did what they needed to do academically, and they transitioned from going to class to virtual, and it became a reality for them. And probably more than anything, they liked it because they didn't have to go nowhere. So, but now, you know, the summer has been nothing. Still the virtual stuff. And they didn't even go to summer school. We needed to save our budget and save some things, so we didn't do anything. We didn't let them go to summer school. They could have if they needed it to get eligible or so on and so forth. But I think we had two seniors that needed it to maintain their eligibility and to continue towards their degree, which we're excited as all get out about, as all four seniors graduated. You know, they finished their classes and that. So like I said, it's been very unusual, but we've had to get used to it. We've done all of our recruiting for the 2021 or 2020 class through Zoom. You know, we signed 8 new guys and 6 [S2] Oh, wow. [S1] Of them came to visit. But 6 of them we did all through Zoom. So we were some Zooming fools.
Most definitely.
It probably will pick up even more from a recruiting standpoint, seeing as how we can't go anywhere. We can't do anything and in hopes of the governor and the chancellor eventually allowing us to do that. But for the most part, man, it's been the new norm and virtual. Everything we've done is virtual.
Same here, Coach. Like, you know, for me, I've been to downtown Atlanta to our studio since March. I'm doing this from my man cave in my basement here. So I have not been downtown for anything. Like, honestly, I haven't seen downtown Atlanta in months because of the pandemic. I'm out here in the burb chilling, man. So same on the radio side too, man. We just trying to virtually live and make it. And for your guys, like, you know, I have a hoop in my backyard. I can get shots if I want to. But for a lot of guys on your team, they're not fortunate enough like me to have a basketball court in my backyard. So how'd you kind of manage guys kind of staying in shape to the best they can, get up shots if they can while things locked down? Because I know you weren't the main focus, but they are basketball players still. So how they kind of manage that aspect of trying to get shots up, stay in shape, and not be so out of shape of it when you get back right now and just be like start from scratch?
What we've done is we've employed our strength and conditioning coach, and he's working overtime. He Zooms with our team 2 times a week, and on that Zoom, he has 2 different groups. So at 9 o'clock on Mondays and at 10 o'clock on Mondays, and then a team deal on Friday. But in between all of that, he's trying through Zoom, show them how to lift. The biggest thing for me is conditioning, running, getting outside and running. And for a while, because of the pandemic and because of the social injustice more so, we weren't asking our guys to run or do anything of that nature. But they're athletes. They're driven by the basketball. So if a place was open in their hometown, whether it be a gym, whether it be open run, I know some of our guys are doing both. And that's why we chose to leave them at home, so to speak, because they had a routine that allowed them to do basketball stuff. Whereas if they came here, the onus would have been on us and we wouldn't have been able to supply them with their, you know, with a place to do what they were doing. So we left them at home as long as we could. But they were sneaking in gyms. They were going to gyms that were open and doing their deal, you know. And so I would check in with them on my own individually. And then we had a team Zoom every Wednesday. But then probably the last 3-5 weeks, we've been also doing a team stretch and stuff. So we've been trying to do stuff. Our strength and conditioning coach is, like I said, he's been working overtime, just staying in touch with these guys and trying to give them some sort of normalcy, if you will, with doing things every day, the same thing every day, or something centered around basketball the same every day. But they've been working out, or at least they've been saying that. So we don't know. We'll find out.
I hear that. And, you know, I think this is a great time to teach these gentlemen about adversity, because 2020 has been one heck of a year for us, adversity. You know, we have the pandemic going on at the same time as the social uprising we have going on in our country. So how have you and your staff used this opportunity to teach these gentlemen about the adversity they'll face in their lives going forward? Because I feel like, for me, being in my 30s, like, this is the weirdest shit I had in my whole life, and I'm 33 years old. For them being 18, 20-some years old, has to be weird to how they probably have in their lives as well. So how have you and your staff kind of used to teach these young men about adversity and how they can overcome the bad things that happen around them and still rise above it all?
I've been really fortunate, and I think our team has been really fortunate. And, you know, it's in that I am, before I'm a head coach, before I'm a coach, I'm a black man. So I look at the information differently maybe than they do. But as their mentor, as their coach, it's my job, in my opinion, to give them the information. And so on our weekly calls, I take the first 15 minutes and give them that information and try to do it unbiased as I possibly can, you know, not being black, not being a Democrat or Republican, you know, just give it to them straight, whether it be the pandemic, whether it be the social injustice, but just give it to them straight and trying to communicate with our guys and let them know, A, they have a mouth for a reason. Use it. Communication is something that we've talked a great deal about it. The more I do it, I try and get them to say what they feel, what they think, and let them know that it's okay, whatever it is, no matter what it is. They could be mad, they could be upset, they could be frustrated, they could be happy, or they can not care, which is a lot of them. They don't resonate with that. They resonate with the fact that they're an athlete, they're going to become a professional athlete, they're going to take care of their family, and so on and so forth, one way or the other. So they don't really resonate. And so we've had numerous Zoom calls at least once a week. We try to communicate with them. We try to give them as much, or I try and give them as much possible information. And what they do with the information is 100% up to them. But I think it's my job to give them that information. And we've had some sidebars and some individual conversations with a couple of guys who have followed up on that information because it's touched them differently, or and they didn't want to say it, you know, in front of 16 other guys, what have you. But I think it's my job to give them the information and then let them do what they will with it. So we've been trying to give them that information in an organized fashion so that they can hear what's being said. And then whatever they choose to do is what they choose to do. But, you know, because of my situation, they knew about it. And I'm laying there by myself. And one of the ways that I chose to operate out of the pandemic, out of the social injustice, was through love. You know, let them know that I love them. As a black man, we don't say that enough. We're super, super emotionless. Yes. I'm learning to be emotional. I think I thought I communicated with everybody, but there's some stuff that I shy away from. But through love, I believe that it conquers all. And I believe that our team can conquer all through love. And so I've tried to express myself through love to them and to anybody that would ask me. I come from a place of love. And then the second thing is just trying to be productive with the space, with my team, with my friends, you know, whatever it is. If I'm involved, we're going to do those two things. We're going to operate out of love, and we're going to try to be productive. You know, everybody is up in arms and saying this and saying that. Screw saying it. Let's do something.
Most definitely. And I'll share this with you, Coach. I've lost 4 sponsors since this George Floyd incident because I've been speaking out using my platform. 1.1 million listeners from Chattanooga to Macon. I have a big platform. Not very many black men in the South have a platform big as mine. I have to use my voice to speak and help out the community. And what I say is, it shows me who these sponsors are who will drop me because speaking truth to power. Because once JR leaves the State Farm Arena, off my Hawks gear, takes off whatever gear I have on, I'm JR, a black man in Atlanta, Georgia. You know, there's no JR Coast cover the Hawks or the Boss Man show. It's just JR. And I could be anything I do sideways or off the barrel one bit, it's my career. It could be my life as well.
No doubt. And trying to let our guys see that, because my team is predominantly black. They look like me, predominantly. I think we have one kid that's a Chinese kid that's on scholarship, and of the 13, he's one of the 13. Other 12 are black. And so trying to get them to understand that it comes with a certain onus. Like you said, when you take off all of your gear, when you put all of that stuff, you're still black. When you wake up in the morning and you look in the mirror, you are still black. And then you go to work or you go wherever and you put all of that on. But there's a certain obligation and a responsibility, in my opinion, that I have to them and that they have to themselves, their family, and whoever else that they're willing to, you know, help. They do have a certain obligation. And really, honestly, that's one of the things that we've talked about, is trying to speak up. You know, so I applaud you and I applaud the sponsors that stuck with you when you speak truth to power. And it is nothing but the truth that we're speaking, but we've endured it for so long to where it's a part of who we are. It's our nature to deal with it. Well, we don't have to deal with it anymore. At least they need to know that it's in us and we're speaking about it. And we can speak educationally about it, or we can, you know, we can speak the other way about it as well. But in the same token, it comes from the same breath, and it means the same thing. It needs to change. We need to change. And as much as I say they, I'm also looking at myself on this computer and I'm saying we.
Most definitely.
We need to change, and we need to do our part so that if they do, or when they do, or putting pressure on them to do X, Y, and Z, we can be ready to take advantage of that.
And I explain this, Coach, as well, like you're in your 40s, I'm in my 30s. We're probably the first ones in our family to be born with full rights from the Voting Rights Act, the Fair Housing Act, the Civil Rights Act. We're born with full rights on paper. Now, of course, it's not equal for us because of the policing. But on paper, we're first of all, I have to be born with full rights. My mother and father wouldn't afford the opportunity. They had segregated schools. They had to be across the tracks before dark for they got beat up by the whites. And so for me, I have some things going for me. My parents didn't have for me. I made more money in my life than my parents made in their careers because of what I've been afforded. But it does not change the fact that, hey, I'm a black man. The same challenges my dad and my mom have, I'm still here in 2020 today. I have to fight against them and speak about it to my listeners here in Atlanta and beyond, because it's a time for it to change. It's only going to change when we speak about it truthfully, and we get us together and call us with our white brothers and sisters and our Asian brothers and sisters and try to become as one and get this all fixed together so we can all be equal, as what they say on paper in the Constitution.
No doubt. I mean, I think Will Smith, I think I heard him speak and say it probably one of the best ways that I've heard it. Racism is not gone anywhere. Our parents have endured it. We've seen it, but it hasn't gone anywhere from the time that your parents came into the world, before them to after them. The difference now is that it's being recorded.
Mm-hmm.
So now people have to see it. You, no matter what, you have to look at it. It's all the platforms, on social media, on the news. So you have to look at it, but it's still the same. Unfortunately, it's still the same in a lot of ways. Now there are a lot of advancements. There's a lot of growth, but there's a lot of growth and advancements that still need to be made. And I think it's incumbent upon you and I to do our part in educating the people behind us, number one, but being productive, number two, in the space that we've been provided to continue to move the march forward.
And I've been so invigorated and inspired by, you know, what the response I have against is very positive. You know, the native is what the native is, but the fact the listeners actually understand them, guys, people saying, I didn't see it that way. Thank you for bringing this up, because I didn't know my listenership, how they really felt, but majority has been very positive. Beyond the sponsor who dropped, which God will deal with them later. You know. But I'm so happy that people actually hearing the message, actually want to change and learn more about it. So I'm going to be doing more with my listeners here going forward, trying to get them more knowledge about race and where we go, voter suppression here in Georgia that was in the news as well. So I'm going to use this show. It's a sports show still, but I'm going to use it for good and it's bigger than me now. And as John Lewis said, make good trouble. You know, I'm in the mecca of civil rights in Atlanta. And I'm in the right market to do this, and I'm going to do it here going forward.
No doubt. No, I applaud you for doing that and for using the platform that you have. Quite frankly, I don't feel like there's enough of us that use it the way you are using it to let everybody know you do have an opinion. When you take this stuff off, you experience it. And even when you put it on, you know, you experience it. So just the mere fact that we're talking about it and having communication about it, I think is important. And I think it's necessary, but I think also a part of it is being productive, which you are doing by continuing to do your show, continuing to acknowledge your sponsors, but also continue to acknowledge your history, you know, and your current situation. And then what is the game plan moving forward? What do you have moving forward and what can people get in line with to help move this forward in terms of dealing with the racism, in terms of dealing with the social injustice that we're seeing on a day-to-day basis. And like anything, if you poll your audience, the percentages suggest that everybody wants that, not everybody, a large percentage wants to help. But we focus on, and we have to focus on the negative, the percentage that doesn't want to help. And that's what draws our attention, that because those are the people that have those are the naysayers, but they have a lot of power. You know, if we recognize it, they have a lot of power. And there are more people like that than that probably I would have given credit for, especially being in here in California, where everybody supposedly is liberal and everybody looks the same, or not looks the same, but they act the same. And, you know, but I've been at a like right down the street, literally less than a football field or maybe a football field. There's a guy or a family, I think, that flies a Trump flag. And I've never seen them. I don't know who they are. And I make sure on my walks in the morning that I still go by there. Yeah, I know that I probably shouldn't, or I know that they have that, but I've made the choice that I'm going to go by there and I'm going to look for them, and I'm going to dare them to say something.
Oh, definitely. And coach, you know, I said to my sponsors here and anybody who was upset with me, I said, look here, I have a guaranteed deal to 2023. If they fire me, they owe me a lot of money. And then so I said, I have a good lawyer. So if I get fired, they owe me what I owe me and then some. I have a bonus life if I get fired. I'll say that on the radio. I don't care. I will say it because it's the truth. I said, ask them, pull up my contract and see what it is. So fire me. But I'm going to use this show for as long as I have it for good. And I'm going to help with the voting and the Hawks here turn our arena to a polling place now for November. So helping suppression of the votes here in Georgia. So the Hawks are behind this. And I feel like we're in a good space, coach, and also you're part of Coaches for Change. We'll talk about that next, but we're in a good space. People want to help. And like I said, the 80% of people who want to help with what I'm talking about, the 20% got me lost some sponsors, but guess what? We're still here. We're still talking about it and doing it. You ain't stopping no show right here. We're still doing it right now on the Boss Man Show.
Last I checked, 80 was bigger than 20 anyway, so we'll roll with those 80.
Yes, indeed. And, you know, Coach for Change, which organization you're a little bit a part of on the board there, a big initiative by a part of them is getting people registered to vote. And Carmine Sorrell done a great job with the site. The site is amazing. And talk about how did you get involved with that organization and why did you want to throw your weight behind it as you all do what you're doing for young men, student athletes, helping them, educating them about life and what we got going on in our country right now?
No, I think it's a heck of a deal. The Coaches for Change is the organization. Started some time ago when the injustice became prevalent to everybody. I won't say it just started because it's been going, but it became prevalent to everybody. And Carmen sent me a text message after a phone call with the NABC that we had, that us coaches belong to, and he wanted it to be countrywide. He wanted it to span the West, the East, and the South, and the North. And he simply sent me a text and said, hey, I'm thinking about this. I'm thinking about starting this. We'll come up with the name, but I'd love for you to be a part. And of course, I said yes, and it has blossomed in short order into one of the biggest things that I've been a part of as a coach. The coaches for changes, like you mentioned, the site is so informational. There's so much information, and that was one of the goals of the coaches for changes was we wanted to provide the athletes with information so that they can make their own choice. But in order for them to find that information, they had to dig through this and dig through that. Well, Carmen and his folks have decided to put that information on their website, and literally all you got to do is sit there and click through this or click through that or click on this, and you can get the information. And as you mentioned, one of the things that you will see, I think a lot of different coaches across the country are trying to be a part of and starting to be a part of, is the voter registration. You know, we are responsible for a population of young men that are age eligible to vote. And so we're trying to make sure that they are, one, registered, and then two, that they vote. I think one of the things that has come from the NCAA, but more so from groups as such that I'm part of, the Coaches for Changes, is that November 3rd will be a day that we will not do anything. We will not practice, we will not play, we will not do anything, and we plan to vote. You know, we're going to use that time and use that space to vote, get the word out as much as we can. I'm a part of probably three or four other different groups. And two of them had their phone call last week or their Zoom call, and that's all they were talking about. And most of them had the presentation on, are we registered to vote? How to register to vote? This is how, literally one of the calls walked us through how to do it. And so if our teams are not voting, it to me, it would truly be a shame. And then I heard Steve Harvey say something this morning, I think early this morning, he mentioned a group of people. There's 4 million 17-year-olds that will turn 18. There's 4 million of them that were 17 and will turn 18 in time to vote. Making sure that those young folks are registered, making sure that they vote, that they show up. And one of the things that we talked about last night on the call, and I had my parents here yesterday, but you know what that guy in the chair, the president, is doing right now is trying to defund the United States Post Office, and making sure that our votes are being discredited or discounted according to him. And so providing that information as well, we have to go over above and beyond to make sure that the word is getting out and that the message is being heard. And I feel like Coaches for Changes is one of the groups that is definitely doing that. There's, again, I can't even begin to tell you how much information that Carmen has amassed among the group, whether it comes from the group, we give it to him, we show it to him, and he gives it to his, the internet guy. And he does a phenomenal job of getting that information out there. So it's something special. It's something unique. Even something so much as the dates. You know, I think we're 85 days away from November 3rd, actually voting on today. But having those dates, you know, this is the date that you will get your early ballot. This is the date that you need to send it in by to make sure that it is counted on by November 3rd. And so on and so forth. All of that information is on the site. All of that information is even at the discretion of a couple of clicks of our fingers. But we're trying to make it as easily accessible as possible. And I think Coach Masiello is doing a heck of a job leading that group.
Coach, I can tell you from firsthand experience, I requested my ballot on Wednesday. I sent my letter in to my foreman. It's going to get there on Monday in Atlanta. I could have drove it over there on Wednesday. Don't get there Monday. So I know the it's getting slowed down for real.
it is definitely doing that. And on one of the other calls, to your point, one of the other calls that I was on yesterday, we were speaking to a representative from the Joe Biden camp. And I asked her, I said, hey, how do we deal with this? What are one thing we do? And she said, first and foremost, don't do what we normally do. And when she said we, she put the air quotes, we, us, me and you, the people that look like us, we tend to wait. If it's due Friday, we tend to wait till Thursday.
Yes. Midnight.
Don't wait till that point. Let's get it. As soon as we get it, let's do it 3-4 weeks and you should have no problem getting that information where it belongs. But like you said, one of the things that was mentioned was getting in a car and driving it over, you know, being a part of of that one of the groups, the leadership piece suggested that, hey, I'm a leader. I'm going to drive by, or here's where I'm at. Bring your ballot to me and let me drive it over, seal it, but let me drive it over to the appropriate place to make sure that you are counted. So there's all types of ways to vote. And I think it's incumbent again upon us to do our part to make sure that our vote is counted. And Carmen is doing that along with a couple of other, the other groups that I'm a part of that are doing that.
Well, I've been banging voting on the voting drum here since George Floyd happened, and I'm gonna keep banging this drum here to November 3rd because Georgia is a swing state. It is now. Georgia is browning now. We're browning here in Georgia. Demographics are changing here in Georgia. So we have two Senate seats up for grabs as well with Raphael Warnock and John Ossoff. So we can get those two. It helps in the Senate, you know, not to have those horrible judges that if we go to federal court would rule against us and lose our civil rights. So I'll try to tell people it's bigger than just the president. The federal bench as well, appropriations as well, congressional conditions, it's all intertwined together. State, local, federal, it's all, you know, in a lot of together. We have to take attention to it all because it all matters. Like in Georgia, no mask mandate here in Georgia, but it's one in California where you're at with Governor Newsom. So if Stacey Abrams won an election, we would have a mask mandate here in Georgia, not do what you want to. So it all matters. Local, state, and federal, all matters, Coach.
It does. Just like I'm going to treat my team, and I've said this before, and I'll continue to say it, but, you know, when that stuff comes in terms of the local stuff, what we're voting on, it's incumbent upon me to give it to them, to tell them. Now, it's not incumbent upon me to tell them which way they're supposed to vote, but it is incumbent upon me to give them the information and tell them to vote. Now, how they vote, I don't care, I don't know, but as long as they do their part in terms of voting and their voices heard, you know, it gives them permission to what we always do, talk trash. You know, it gives us permission to do that because we voted and we stood for something, or like my junior college coach said, you stand for something or you fall for anything.
Most definitely. I'll ask you about two of your former assistant coaches, man. I've had them on the show, Dane Sprinkle and John Smith. Great guys, man. You have a tree. So I know you're a good, great coach. You have a tree, man. We have a tree. You're doing something right. So talk about your guys, man. How they doing, man?
They're doing well. I just came back from visiting both of them, you know, at their respective schools. And they're obviously, one of them is in a different part of the state, or both of them. One of them is in San Luis Obispo, which is about a 3-hour drive. And we'll talk about John Smith first, because he's in our league. So we're reluctant to share thoughts and ideas. But quite frankly, I mean, we are each other. We do what each other did when we were together, and I would expect anything less. So for him to go through his first year, and yes, he was at the bottom of the barrel, but he's experienced that. And I think that's probably why they both are now head coaches, because of the experience that they both have. You know, the experience that we had here at Cal State Fullerton, we stumped the first 2-3 years. You know, we were not very good, but in short order, it was a payoff that I think their respective ADs will see in no time. So it was good to see them both in their environment. John Smith at Cal Poly, San Luis Obispo, and even Danny Sprinkle at Montana State. Like I was mentioning before we went on the air, it's one thing to sit and be extremely proud of them, even though I'm younger than John. You know, it's I liken it to a father figure and his two sons, watching his two sons do what they want to do and be excited and still experience the trials and tribulations of what they're going through, but also experience the excitement of doing it day in and day out. And some of the things that we went through here at Cal State Fullerton, they're experiencing on a different level. And some of the, they've been experiencing the exact same thing. But I think it's unique to see them in their confined small areas, because they're smaller than Orange County. We could walk nowhere with Sprinkle, whether it was dinner, it didn't matter. Like it was all, hey coach, how you doing? And, you know, it didn't matter if we were on a golf course. Hey coach, how you doing? Blah, 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 blah. We couldn't go 300 feet without 6 or 7 people acknowledging him as the coach. And the same thing with John, you know, they know who he is. They know what to expect, and they're behind him. They're supporting him. So to see them in their own environment after year one and still have that support that they thought they would, and even more, you know, I'm the proud father, I guess, as you will, and just sit back and marvel and sit back. And I'm excited for those guys because I know what's coming through my experience through firsthand. But seeing both of those guys was a godsend because, again, it's different when you see them as your assistant coaches, but now they're head coaches. And it's like, I find myself calling them thinking that we still work together. Nah, fool, we don't. They're their own deal. They're doing their own deal and trying to get it right. So I have to be cognizant of that, but we're still really, really good friends. And probably the most important part is we're all still really good friends. You know, our families still ask or check on each other and, you know, and so on and so forth. And so through this business, again, it's a way of networking, but it's a way of developing a relationship that matters, you know, as long as time is around, it will matter what we're all doing and what they're doing. And they all know what they're required to do and they're enjoying it.
Now, how was the coaching against John this year? How was the coach against him when he knows all your stuff, man? So how was that? You know all his stuff. So how was that?
You know, it was a little bit different. I think he changed up some of the calls and changed up some of the things that he did. But like you said, he knew exactly. Not only did he know, but then he also took his son who had been part of our program and played for. So I would call something and he knew exactly what was coming. And my point to our team was the competitor in me could care less about who it is down on the other end during the game. After the game, before the game, we're friends, we'll be cool. But during the game, I want to win. And so I chose to keep myself the same, to call it the same. Now it's a matter of can we execute, you know. But it was still different because I went to call something and his son was looking at me right in my mouth. And I didn't even say it. I just said, hey, whatever you called in the huddle, whatever. And I wanted something, but I know he's looking at me. And I know he knows what to expect. So it was a little bit unique. It was a little bit weird the first time. But at the end of it, you know, I was upset that we didn't win. And then we did win. I was happy. So, you know, that'll never change. It doesn't matter who's across from me. I want to beat somebody's behind.
Now, okay, so who has the better golf game between all you three?
probably Coach Sprinkle. Probably Coach Sprinkle. His swing is very consistent and very, very, very easy swinging guy. Now, who has the worst game? Coach Smith. I'll tell you that, Coach Smith. I ain't no telling what the hell happened. He might triple bogey a hole just as much as he birdies it. And then the next hole, he might do anything in between. So we still have a good time and we enjoy each other. And you know, it's unique to see men get together who have worked together and still feel as strongly as we feel about each other in the long haul.
Yeah, see, golf is my bugaboo, Coach. I can't get golf down, man. I'm terrible. I have this whole across my body swing thing working where everything goes left.
Yeah, well, you good then because everything for me goes right, so we need to switch games.
Maybe. No, tennis court a little different. The tennis court, I can hold my own, but the golf course – ain't nothing going for me right now. It's all left.
No doubt. I chose to do golf because you hit the ball and, you know, you spend most of your time walking and looking for that little ball. Whereas tennis, I mean, it is full go, nonstop, and I refuse to get in any type of shape to do that sport. So my hat is off to you in the tennis world. I choose to just chase my ball, and if I can't find it after a certain time, I'll just drop another one.
Man, hey, Coach, it's been great to catch up with you, man. This has been wonderful. Thank you for your time, man. I wish you all the best, and I hope you guys play on time this year, man. I know it's tricky out here with this virus and out in Cali, where it is Georgia, man. I'm praying for you guys. I hope you all can play. I know you all like the guys to play non-conference schedule and play ball, man. I hope you can get it done this year for real, man.
No, I appreciate it, and I, too, hope we can play at some point or play on time. Whatever it is, my biggest thing is just be safe and being healthy. That's all I care about right now. And you know, it probably won't change. Just being safe and being healthy. So I wish you the best. Thank you for reaching out. Thank you for allowing me to come on your show. Enjoy myself. You know, it's like a conversation when we get together. Nothing changes. So I appreciate it and look forward to the next time.
Anytime, Coach. Be safe, brother. Talk to you real soon, man.
All right. Talk to you soon. Thanks again.
All right.
hip-hop fans, I got a great album for you. The debut album from Family Grind ENT, True Speech, and 313 Fresh. We're going to give you two discs, 33 songs of pure, genuine hip-hop. Albums available on iTunes, Amazon, Google Play, IllStreetRex.com, and streaming live right now on Rhapsody, Beats Music, Spotify, Xbox Music, Slacker Radio, and SoundCloud. Check them out today. True Speech and 313 Fresh. Family Grind ENT. Believe in it. Get it.
A gorgeous tan from Suntan City gives you an inner glow that relights the fire when you run into your first crush.
Vicky, who is that?
An old boyfriend.
Lucky you just tanned at Suntan City.
Lucky he's single. We're doing lunch tomorrow.
Won't be single for long then.
During Tour of the City, try all five tans, including spray tan, for just $4.99. Restrictions may apply. Click to buy now.
When you're a teen, you finally get to make some of your own decisions. Who are you going to hang out with? What do you want to be? Are you going to glance at that text while driving? Remember, a split second is all it takes for something tragic to happen. Be in the zone. Turn off your phone. Visit childrenshospital.vanderbilt.org/BITZ to learn more about our Teen Driver Safety Program. Brought to you by Monroe Carroll Jr. Children's Hospital at Vanderbilt, the Ford Motor Company Fund, and the Allstate Foundation.
It's maybe the night that my dreams might let me know. All the stars are closer. All the stars are closer.
Tell me what you gonna do to me. Confrontation ain't nothing new to me. You could bring a bullet, bring a sword, bring a morgue, but you can't bring the truth to me.
Alexa, play Kendrick Lamar and SZA.
Okay.
With Amazon Music, a voice is all you need. Get tens of millions of songs. Download the Amazon Music app today.
Yeah, yeah, it's your man JC, the host with the most, baby, and it goes down each and every Saturday night right here in the city of Memphis. That's right, y'all. It goes down at Clicks Sports Bar Memphis, baby. 3705 Malco Way, Memphis, Tennessee, 38125. Come out and join us, the Three Kings, each and every Saturday night for the livest karaoke in the city. Everybody gets in free till 10 p.m., only $5 after. Great food. We got drink specials. We got all kind of games, man. We got the pool tables popping. Whatever you want, we got you, man. Come on out. Have a good time with us each and every Saturday night. That's Clicks Sports Bar, Memphis.